Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, your fast-paced half-hour video cast blog that's designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And it's really directed towards the entrepreneurs out there who want to learn more about other entrepreneurs and how they've achieved success. And today I've got a really successful gentleman joining me today. His name is Chaz Wolf. Welcome, Chaz. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, Wayne. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to our back and forth here.
We always will have good back and forth, but today we're going forth with you and your background. And I think before we get into some details about you, let me tell the audience a little bit more about you. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've built and sold multiple seven-figure companies, so I want to hear more about that. In franchising, construction, real estate, consulting, and you've got a strong focus on discipline and integrity. Integrity is one of my top values too, and I think that's a really important focus. You excel in operations and sales. I've noticed that from a lot of your recent podcasts, and you drive growth and profitability in both domestic and international markets. So I'd like to hear more about that too. And your approach is designed to combine tailored strategies with execution, straightforward execution. So first of all, Chaz, let the listeners know a little bit more about you. Where did you come from? I know you were the product of a single mom household. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, grew up in the Midwest, middle of Missouri. I live in Kansas City now, but grew up single mom family, as you mentioned. And as I've said, you know, probably hundreds of times, I'll probably say thousands more before I'm gone, but that taught me just like grit, you know, figure it out mentality. And my mother is, you know, probably one of the hardest people, if not the hardest working person I know. And just a never quit, high tenacity, just let's go. And, you know, being in that circumstance gave me a perspective of life that not many get to have. And so I think it maybe forced me to grow up a little sooner than I had been designed to, but I'm thankful for it. And I got to
what was she doing that was so that showed her tenacity and perseverance?
Yeah, well, I mean, the easy one is working 2-3 jobs. I mean, she still does it to this day. You know, I think a lot of business owners kind of wear that chip on their shoulder that no one can outwork me. But I also think that there's a lot of folks on our teams, including, you know, my mom is not on my team, but she is an employee of a large company and an executive assistant, basically, to a pretty large CEO. And she runs the gamut, like, I mean, early, late, and it's just a huge commitment, you know, to that. And she ran an apartment complex for me for years. Has just done so much, not just like not even just like her experience. I just mean like the ability, the capacity is probably the better word. The capacity to watch her do literally whatever it took to win. And winning as a single mom is tough because guess what? There just was less support, you know, less help. I mean, I have 4 kids of my own now. I'm married for 16 years. We've got 4 kids under the age of 10. And I often scratch my head, you know, and go, I literally don't even know how she did it, Wayne, you know? So when I think of that, that's what I think of my upbringing. Like it just, it gave me a perspective.
That is amazing. My wife and I have been married 34 years and, we have 4 kids. They're all much older, but I don't know how she did what she did because I was always working. And then she was always working too. So she was working, I was working, and then she was raising 4 kids. I give credit to your mom and I give credit to your wife for doing the amazing things that they do. Tell us a little bit about the 7-figure businesses that you've been able to grow and sell before we dig into the things that you're doing today.
Yeah. Edible Arrangements is a franchise system that I started with. Bought my first location when I was 25. Yeah. Pretty household name at this point. 25 years or so in business, and so I went from you know owning my first one. I had just turned 25, and 4 years later, I had 7 locations in 3 states, and it was a whirlwind of growth. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I think I had used 4 or 5 different banks to help in that growth process. You know, being 25, it's not like I had millions of dollars. And so I scrounged up my initial savings and along the way had borrowed a little bit of money from some family, but you know, SBA loans, equipment loans, like I just bootstrapped all that together and I've exited five of the seven and still own two in Wichita, Kansas and Pensacola, Florida, and got great teams there and pretty hands-off at this point, being 13 years in now, but I've also been in, like I said, you know, real estate, just sold an apartment complex just a month and a half ago. That was a another seven-figure deal there. And so anyway, just lots of different opportunities. I love the creativity of doing different things. Gathering the Kings as the mastermind community that you mentioned a few minutes ago is really my kind of like my life's work, my main focus now. I'm probably more so trying to get rid of things so that I can focus more on that. But I do like the creativity of kind of dabbling in multiple projects. Keeps me interested.
How did you go about creating Gathering the Kings?
Well, I had been a part of some groups, what I would say group coaching, and I got a ton of value from that. But it's not a mastermind. And I think that there are a lot of people who, you know, call their group a mastermind, and that's okay. It's just the wrong word. A mastermind, defined by Napoleon Hill in Chapter 10 of Think and Grow Rich, is two or more minds working in harmony together unto the achievement of something very, very specific. And it's agitation of thought. It's this room of things flowing back and forth and creating something that didn't exist with the single parts by themselves. And so I had not seen that done well. And so I just said, okay, I remember exactly where I was. I went over to my whiteboard and I was like, okay, I got a clean slate here. How would I create a real mastermind? And how often would we get together and what would be virtual? What would be in person and who's going to be in the room and what kind of entrepreneur is there? And so what we have now, you know, 3 years in is a very solid group of down to earth, family oriented, you know, entrepreneurs that just want to win in all areas. We that definite chief aim, that singular focus that we have as a group is to live the exceptional life. I've defined that as winning in all areas. To me, you know, very much how you described your history with, you know, even with your wife, like my wife tells a story of early on in our entrepreneur journey of being a single mom, not because we were divorced, but because I was an entrepreneur and she was mom. And so she describes that as being a single mom because I was all in on one dimension of kingship. And was I even a real king at that time? It would be a better question that I would ask myself. And so I think
why
raising
is it gathering
up,
of kings and not gathering of queens?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, I'm a dude, I guess. I don't know. But king is not masculine. It's mindset. And we've got about as many female members as we do male. And then on top of that, we have this family dynamic that nobody else really has that. I mean, we have, you know, a family and a marriage dynamic. I mean, that other people, it's just like you can get marriage and family or you can get business. But it what I find is that the interesting piece is that, like you described in your history, is that it's hard for entrepreneurs to figure out how to do them both together. And so we try to marry those things together along with, you know, health and faith and lifestyle, all the dimensions of kingship. Because I want to win in all areas. I don't want to just be a one-legged, you know, pony or a flamingo.
So when you define exceptional life, and you define all the facets of what comprises an exceptional life. I think you had mentioned previously that there are five dimensions. What are the five dimensions of being a king?
Yeah, I love that. before I give that to you, the king, the air quotes there, I love that because, you know, a king is this, you know, this mature version, right? Like you become a king. You are given responsibility, you're given power as a king. And that takes a certain something to hold that well, hold that space, you know, to be able to look over your kingdom, well, with integrity, with all these, you know, things that we kind of mentioned at the beginning. And so the five dimensions are this: business and finance, marriage and family, health, which is physical and mental, faith, which is spiritual and self-confidence, and lifestyle, the things that bring us joy, tangible and intangible. And I think that if you're winning in all five of those areas, that you're living the exceptional life.
When you were running your businesses, it sounds like, you know, you were running those businesses. Your wife was taking care of the kids, raising a family, working hard doing that, by the way, because I know how hard it is. But you had mentioned to me that you felt isolated in business.
Yeah.
And somehow that led to the concept of Gathering of the Kings. So explain a little bit more about that for us.
Yeah. Entrepreneurial isolation is real. We've all experienced it. You know, the word isolation, if it's like, you know, do I feel that way? But as soon as I say something like, you know, you're the guy or the gal, right? Like, who do you go to get your cup full? You know, what group of people do you have around you that are at your level or above? What I find often is, not often, 98%, is that as entrepreneurs, especially entrepreneurs, is that we've got our team, we've got the community, we've got our family, and we're the guy or the girl. And that we're always pouring out, always pouring out. And that's how we're designed. And that's okay. There's beauty in that. That's what we're made to do. But you're also made to be part of a community that can fill up the cup. And not to replace an individual coach, because that's not what we do. We have partnerships with executive coaches. We've got one that we have a strategic partnership with that is just incredible. And if our members say, hey, I need one-on-one attention, it's like, great, you know, go there. But as a community, as a mastermind, as agitation of thought, as a place where you can come in a room where it's like, whoa, the energy and frequency of this room is freaking winners. That's what is mostly missing from entrepreneurs. Because guess what? I sat at this desk, like literally this desk, years ago with the weight of, do I fire this person? Or do I make this $100,000 investment? Do I buy this piece of equipment? Do I close this location? Do I, like, all these heavy, heavy things? Our insurance tripled. What am I going to do? I have payroll on Friday. Like, all of these things that we can all relate to. And it's like, okay, well, in that moment, okay, fine. Like, those are decisions. We got to make those. Like, I can't get away from that. But the reality of it is that most people listening to this podcast can relate to that, but then they can also relate to, I don't have anybody to talk to about that, or get experience from, or to bounce ideas off of, or create a whole new solution. Like we talked about with the agitation of thought and what the actual mastermind principle is. If I can get in a room with Wayne or with other people that have had these experiences, or even maybe not the experience, but they have a different thing, they've got a different story, and they can hear mine, and we can go back and forth, and I walk away going, well, done. It's over. I figured it out. We're good. You know, this is how businesses like really jump, like double and triple, like pretty quickly, you know?
How often do you all meet, not guys, but how often do you all meet in terms of, you know, the Gathering the Kings? And is it done virtually? Is it done in person? Just out of curiosity and for the benefit of listeners who might want to join your mastermind, if you're willing to have them.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We meet virtually and in person. And depending upon the membership tier, you know, we've kind of designed them for different sized businesses. There's different conversations happening at different sized businesses, which I know you know because you help people with all kinds of cool stuff. But, you know, we try to group people together in a large format virtually and in person where there can be this cross-reference, but then also specified, you know, hey, this conversation's happening at the million plus or not. You know, that type of thing. So a lot of virtual because we're all across the country, but we definitely do several events throughout the year. I was just telling you, we got back just a week ago from our family mastermind trip that we hosted in Cancun, Mexico. We had several families come with us. You know, there was marriage sessions each day. Kids were playing together, creating relationships. We did like a financial, like kind of class thing for the kids. And it was super cool.
Do you have people that are assisting you in providing all these educational moments for all the people that are participating in the mastermind group? Do you have who supports you in this whole effort?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we have a great team. Our GTK team is growing because the network is growing, the community is growing. But outside of that, we've also got cool vendors too. You know, we've got strategic partnership with a marriage coach. It's a couple. We've got the executive coach partnership that I told you about. We've got a health coach partnership. I know I've talked with you back and forth about coming in and being a speaker. We've got quarterly speakers. We've got, you know, our in-person event speakers. We had a guy come speak in Nashville a couple months ago. He just sold 4,000 units of multifamily portfolio, and he has 3,500 units under construction. So he came and gave this huge, long, big deal on real estate and the current state of our economy, even though it feels shaky. And he gave all kinds of very real, practical outlets of what probably is going to happen. And yet we're still America, and there's still a way to win. And he gave several aspects of that. And it was like, okay, let's go, you know? So,
you know, that's funny. People get all negative and, you know, listening to the media. Don't listen to the media, first of all. But, yeah, you know, if you really look back on our history as a country and the people who made it so successful, it's the people who said, I don't really care what's going on outside of me. It's all within me and within myself and the people that I surround myself with to make this a success, right? And that's what Mastermind is all about. That's what Gathering the Kings is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that you have we can control what we control.
You have different industries that are participating in this endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the niche, right? Like, I've had people over the years, you know, well, you got a niche down. And it's like, no, I think our niche is that there is no niche, you know. Our niche, actually, to be more specific, is that what I said at the beginning, down to earth, family oriented. Like, these are quote unquote regular Joes that have done just incredible things, not regular things in their business, but they're just, you know, you might catch them in a plaid, button up and some jeans, before anything else. And I think that that's the down to earthness about our group specifically. But yeah, we've got the trades and construction and real estate, all the different aspects of real estate, retail, restaurants, other type of investments. I mean, you name it, we come and talk about it all.
How do you get people from different industries to share experiences that are relevant to the people from different industries? Yeah. That's always been something I've focused on. I participate in a different type of environment known as Vistage, but everybody's different. All these outlets are different, but how do you get people from different industries to be able to share their experiences and make them relevant to everybody in the group?
Yeah, I think that that question is real. I think most people who have never been in a mastermind type environment, a true like, you know, blend of thought, agitation of thought, as I like to say, that's what they're wondering. Like, how does that guy's restaurant, or if he's in construction and it's different than me, like, how does that apply to me? And the beauty of that room is that we can't talk about how you go get, like, in my construction company personally. We're not going to talk about how I go get a new addition, a new $250,000 addition, because you as a restaurant owner have no idea how to do that, right? Like, how you generate leads is different, but we can talk about generating leads. We can talk about strategy. We can talk about exit plans like you. We can talk about hiring and building teams. Like, the up here, it forces the conversation up to problem solving and higher level or lever solutions to your business, because at the end of the day, what is a business? Well, you have a product or service, you have a thing, you have a widget that you sell, you have to have a team to be able to do it. And so there's elements of building a product or service, and there's elements of building a team and hiring that, if done properly, you create real freedom for yourself as an entrepreneur. So that's what we talk about.
Is there one group or multiple groups?
One group. And different dynamics of how we meet. You know, we got a round table every single month. That's, you know, hot seats and strategy. We've got a tactical weekly call that is more, you know, sales and marketing and that type of a stuff. We've got a monthly marriage call. We've got a monthly GTK ladies call where, again, think of it like just an element of community, right? Where our members recognize that they're going to be like other people in this room, and they're going to go like the GTK ladies, like you talked about your wife, like, you know how many wives have had the experience that your wife and my wife have? They're married to us, whether they're in the business or not. You know, it sounds like your wife was maybe in the business or working. And so it's like, okay, great.
Well, yeah, she's with me right down the hall right now, actually. So
there you go. So you've got, she identifies as an entrepreneur. My wife does too, but because she's connected to me. But that person, that human, that female has an experience of being an entrepreneur and a mom and married to you, the other crazy one of the part, you know, especially me, that, and that's different than all her other girlfriends, I bet. You know, like the other girlfriends don't get it. Like, just like my wife, she has a lot of girlfriends. She doesn't have an enemy, but there are so many females or ladies that she's friends with that they're like, I don't relate to how you've sacrificed whatever unto, you know, Chaz building the businesses, or you guys not taking trips now so that you can take trips later, or whatever that looks like for the entrepreneurial journey. But in that space specifically, as a lady who's an entrepreneur and a mom and a wife and all these different dynamics, it's like, oh, we can, there's things here that we've all are going through. And it's like, oh, what do you do? What do you, and then now we have the mastermind principle again.
Is there a point when the mastermind group gets so big that you've got to start to separate it into separate groups?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that there's magic in vulnerability. And so you can't have a group so big that there's not the ability to share vulnerably. And so, but there's also power and inspiration in being able to see things that you can't see beyond a group of 8 to 12, you know. I can go to my group of 8 to 12 and that's cool, but like, the more that my mind sees, the more that I recognize is possible. And so, you know, you could supplement that if you have a small group of 8 to 12, you could go to a big conference or something, but we just try to do both. We've got elements where, you know, like for our roundtables, for example, is that we're going to meet on a monthly basis and there's a huge Zoom room and you're like, whoa, look at all these people. But then we break out into Zoom rooms to do the actual hot seats for those 8 to 12. You know, where people can share vulnerably and you can see the names on the screen and you recognize who they are and you're building relationships, all the community aspects.
Yeah, I like the Zoom room, the breakout room concept. I've used that many times and I've been involved in that. And I think it really does work. Not always, but it does work, especially if you get people who are willing to share. How do you decide who is a good member of Gathering the Kings and who's not?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're pretty good at that. Not perfect by any means at all, but you know, it takes intentionality, right? I mean, just like with anything, just, you know, we all have clients of our business or the best avatar. You have wealth clients that it's like, okay, well, whether it's a certain amount of money or a certain way of thinking, it's the same for us. If someone is, you know, kind of a know-it-all, it's probably not a good fit for a mastermind. And not just ours, but any of them. You know, there's got to be an open-mindedness.
Why is that?
If they think they know it all, then why are you here? Right.
Right.
Well, you're here to be able to tell other people how to do it, and you should just go start a coaching company or something. I don't know what to tell you. It's great that people want to share, and I think that that's the element of the mastermind. It's a give and a take, right? It's a give and a take. It's a recognition that I'm grateful for where I'm at and I've had some success and I've done a pretty good job of putting people at the table that have also had success. And so I'm not the guru in the room. We've all just got our own little story and it's like, okay, cool. Like I now can leverage that person and their networks and their experience. I don't have to go live their experience or have their specific business or have their specific network. I just know them. Now that's the power, you know? You know, Napoleon Hill goes over this in depth, you know, in Think and Grow Rich and Master Key to Riches. And so I think that answers your question, but we're looking for people that are
Napoleon Hill fan. I take it.
You know, just a smidge. Sure. Just a smidge.
So as an exit planner, I always have to ask this question of everybody that comes on the show. And my question for you is, you're a young guy, but what's your exit plan for Gathering the Kings? And
great question. That was a question that I asked myself as we set up the business at the beginning. And
good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, even at a younger age, when I was setting up the individual locations for Edible, I knew at some point I would probably sell them. And so there was a structure that I set up originally so that I could do that. With Gathering the Kings, it's my life work. I don't see myself exiting from a perspective of selling. I see us morphing into whatever is relevant for helping entrepreneurs live the exceptional life. In 2024, in 2034, in 2044, in 2054, until I'm maybe no longer relevant. maybe other members have picked it up from there. Maybe my kids take it over. I'm big on legacy, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have to run Gathering the Kings. It's my job, in my opinion, to create something so big that the expertise or the skill sets or the desires of my children and grandchildren fit inside of it, and we can do it all together. And if that looks like Gathering the Kings, great. At some point, Gathering the Kings will run its course. I don't know what that looks like exactly. It's not really a, you know, like I would probably buy another Mastermind community, but I don't know how many people would do that.
Gathering the Princes.
Yeah, there you go. Princesses. That's right. Yeah, we got GTK kids, right?
And dukes and lords and ladies and all the other things that relate to kings. But that's pretty interesting. One last question for you. And it's a good question that you asked me to ask you, but I think it's a good one. And that is, what key piece of advice would you give to a young aspiring entrepreneur who's just in their 20s or maybe just starting out? What's the single most important thing that they should focus on?
Yeah. Great question. And that would have come from my team. So it's not like I've had a chance to think about this. This is good. I think if I'm looking back, you know, to the 24-year-old Chaz who was purchasing an existing, you know, edible arrangements franchise, I would say to him that it is going to be harder than you think it's going to be. It's going to require more time, money, effort than you think. But man, it is so fun and so incredible to build, and you'll have so much impact on your team and other people in the community and your family. And this is how you build legacy. So even though it might get hard, it's going to be just fine. And you kind of just got to do the thing for a little while to create the machine, you know, that piece I talked about earlier, the tactics and the people. You got to figure those things out. Otherwise you're just always a self-employed person, you know?
Right. You're just working for yourself. A corollary to that is I would imagine that there's a lot of mental health challenges that entrepreneurs face. And what piece of advice would you give them to deal with that struggle that often comes up? Doubt, you know, self-doubt, lack of self-confidence. You hit a bump in the road, you hit a roadblock. What's the advice that you would give them as one who's been there and done that?
Yeah. I mean, the antidote is courage, right? That's all that we really need. As an entrepreneur, I could eventually use help of the tactics. Like someone could tell me how to build a community or build a construction company or generate leads or exit my business. Like all those things are amazing. We find individual people like Wayne to do those individual things for us. That's fantastic.
Right.
But as an entrepreneur, outside of the tactical of those things, all I really need is belief. And in order to gain belief is I have to get around people who are doing incredible things, who can also then transfer that belief or courage to me, which is why Gathering the Kings exists. In fact, I've got a video that kind of explains this, but it's funny how you're right. It's not just, you know, like doubt. It's like actual, like medically, you know, conditions, you know, of how stressed we get basically and what that leads to all the way down to even suicide. And it's like, okay, well, so we're under this immense pressure and stress because of the situation that we've put ourselves in as an entrepreneur and how we're building something from nothing. Okay, what makes sense here? I was like, well, I need more juice, right? And the juice for me, which I think is true for everybody, is courage. It's belief. And so getting around other entrepreneurs who can breathe that into you, whether it's through actual relationship in a mastermind setting, or it's just you being around someone in a room and they're like, wow, well, if that guy can do it, he doesn't have anything that I don't have, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's surrounding yourself with like-minded people who have the same drive and the same passion about what they're doing and can learn from you, but also live with you and grow with you and become part of your community, which you've, you know, amazingly created out of whole cloth. And I congratulate you on that. And we're talking about Gathering the Kings. We're talking to Chaz Wolf, the founder. If people want to know more about not only Gathering the Kings, the mastermind group, but also want to hear your podcasts, want to, you know, become part of your community, how do they do that?
Yeah, great question. They can just go to gatheringthekings.com. They'll find all the information about the mastermind, my history, of course, our podcast, which is being rebranded right now to Driven to Win. And so they can find our 500 plus episodes. You can even find Wayne's episode there for Gathering the Kings. We've interviewed over 500.
It's hidden deep in the podcast annals. Yeah.
It was a good one, back. Man. It way was good. Back. They should find it.
we'll do it again. I mean, you tell me when. Yeah, but this has been a great podcast and video cast, and I really appreciate your being on with us today on Blueprint for Wealth. Thank you so much, Chaz.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate you and your listeners. So just if they find value in this conversation and anything else you're putting out, they should go leave you a 5-star review and connect with you on social. Those things really matter and are impactful. So we appreciate you listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate that plug. And they should do the same with you because you're doing good for all of these entrepreneurs who are part of your community. So thanks again, and thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. And everyone, thanks for listening and watching, and join us next time for another special guest and special topic that we'll discuss on Blueprint for Wealth. Have a great week.